He said, full salvation. I'm glad I didn't get in the installments. I'm glad I'm not waiting for him to pay it off. There's been a lot of things people went down there to Walmart and put on layaway, and they thought that they might come back and pay it off, and they never did. But I'm glad my Lord's already paid the price on Calvary's cross, and I'm going to heaven because of what He's done, not because of what I've done tonight. Full salvation. Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. And I want to read a couple of verses. We'll begin reading in verse number 39, found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 says this, "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee unto thee, go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this night, Lord. I need your help, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord, with the message, Lord, you put on my heart, Lord. Lord, I don't have any ability except for what you give me tonight. Lord, I thank you for my church home, my church family, Lord. I thank you I'm in the family of God tonight, Lord. Thank you for your book, Lord. And I pray, Lord, we be found standing in on the Word of God tonight and everything that you give us to do, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Get some power going on that thing. I guess I'm powerful praying, knock the power out of it or something. I don't know. But anyway, I thank God for technology, but I thank God for the Lord Himself. I want to look at verse number 41 tonight. The Bible says this, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Thank you, brother. And I want to look at this, a simple thought, found out of Matthew chapter 5, verse number 41. And I've entitled it, "Going the Extra Mile." Going the extra mile. You see, I work with a lot of people. They do what they have to get by. They do the least that they can do. They do just enough to get by, to get paycheck to paycheck. Any of y'all got a, can I get a witness right there? Anybody know anybody like that? But I found out in my Christian walk a lot of times that a lot of times, even me, myself, I find myself just doing what it takes to get by. I know how to come to church on Sunday morning. I know how to come to church on Sunday night. But I want to be more than that. I want to be one that wants to go the second mile, the extra mile. You say, what's the extra mile? That's going above and beyond. You see, a lot of times we do what we know to do just to get by. But Jesus has commanded us something special here in our Bible. He said, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." What that means is to go 2 miles instead of 1 mile. And I began to study out this, what it really meant. And back in the day, in the biblical days, and when the Palestinians had taken over and Roman government had taken over, the Roman government had laid down a law. And he said, if a Roman soldier came to a Jew and it was to command him to take a backpack or a mail or some kind of carrier, and he commanded that Jew to take that mile, he compelled them to take it, you know what he had to do? He had to drop everything he had to do and walk that mile for that Roman soldier to carry his burden. No matter what he was doing, it didn't matter if he was doing his normal job, if he was there with his family, no matter what that Jew was doing, it was there. He had to drop everything he was doing and lose all contact with what he was doing and walk that mile. Let me tell you what Jesus was talking about in that. He's saying no matter what you're doing down here on this earth, and he may be here walking a mile, he said just not only walk 1 mile, he said go on an extra mile. You see, I a lot of times in school, you know what I did? I did enough to get by. I was the master of homeroom. I loved homeroom. You say, why? That gave me 15 minutes to study for every test I had that day. I mastered homeroom. You know what I did? My grades showed what I did. My grades wasn't all A's, and it wasn't all A++, and I wasn't the valedictorian, I wasn't the salutatorian. I'll tell you why. Because I was doing enough just to get by. But my Lord has given me another commandment. When I got saved, He said, I just don't want you to do enough just to get by. He said, I don't want you just to walk 1 mile. But He said, I want you to walk 2 miles. And not only that, don't even put a limit on it. Just keep walking for me in my name and do what I have you to do. I want you to look, first of all, the design of the extra mile or the second mile. You'll notice that the first mile is a mile of the law. You say, what do you mean by that? If that Roman soldier had came to him and tapped that Jew on the shoulder and said, hey, you need to take this for me or carry my burden for a mile, no matter what he was doing, he had to do it. And I know I'm preaching to a bunch of country people in here tonight that we don't like to do what we're made to do. Right. See, there's a difference in doing what you want to do. But when somebody makes you do it, you'll soil up, you'll throw it down, you say, I don't want to do it. But by law, the Roman government said you had to do it. But I want to say that the first mile may be a mile of the law, but the second mile is a mile of love. You see, if I were to walk with a guy a second mile, you know what he'd say? He said, man, just say, here I am walking my first mile. And you have to know that the Roman government, they didn't have to worry about, you know, how do I know when it's one mile versus 2 miles? They had it marked. They had each mile of the path marked. And the government had, y'all all heard the term, all roads lead to Rome. They got that because Rome was famous for building their roadways and their driveways and all the great transportation systems that they had back in the day. And if you was walking the mile, the first mile was a mile of law, but the second mile was a mile of love. And if you think of that old Roman soldier, he's done got that Jew to walk that first mile, and he's walked it all the way up to his point. Just think if that he had everything he could do, that Jew could have just dropped that bag and walked off and said, I'm done. And he walked back and go back to his own thing. But just think if that Jew in love said, I'll tell you what, I'll take it on for you more further than that. You see, in Christianity, a lot of times we walk that first mile, and we're ready to just drop it and go back to what we're doing. But the Lord Himself loved us enough. And He said, why don't you walk that second mile for me? You see, the first mile was a mile of the law. The second mile was a mile of love. I want to say not only that, the first mile is a mile of labor. The second mile is a mile of living. You see, we all know how to labor. And sometimes the Christian life can become a mile of labor instead of a mile of living. You see, Jesus commanded us to do this. He said that to live life abundantly. To have that abundant life is what He told us in John chapter number 10. And Jesus said, hey, it's not, we all know what we can do. You see that mile of labor? It's what our flesh can do. And let me tell you what our flesh can do. It can do nothing. But I'll tell you what that second mile is. It's telling you this world how you should live in the life of Jesus Himself and to walk by Him side. Not only is it a mile of labor and a mile of living, I want to say thirdly, it was a mile of the first mile was also a mile of surrender instead of a mile of submission. The second mile is a mile of submission. You say, what's the difference in surrender and submission? You see, when I was a kid, we played forts. And I tell you what we had. We had a flag on our end, and me and my cousins had a flag on the other end. And whoever got to the flag first, the other team was supposed to surrender, right? Talking about surrender versus submission. You see, and I remember playing that game, and a lot of times we wouldn't play it just right. We had some tricks up our sleeves. I know none of y'all have any of that. But there's a lot of times, just because we got to that flag first, don't mean that they was going to give up it into us. They may have surrendered to us, but let me tell you this, they did not submit to us. You see, the first mile, you want to know something interesting I find tonight? The word surrender is not in our Bible. Not one time will you find the word surrender in your Bible. Not a single time. But I'll tell you what you will find. You'll find this word called submit. And I'll tell you why I'm here tonight. It's because I'm trying to be submitted to the one who died on Calvary's cross and give my life to Him out of what the Bible calls reasonable service. You say, what do you mean by that? The Bible said this in James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It also says this, found in the book of, talking about wives. And I'm going to give you an illustration. He said this in Colossians 3:18. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it is fit unto the Lord. It didn't say this, wives, surrender yourselves to your husband, did it? But I can tell you what, you can sit down with a family real quick and figure out if that wife is surrendered or if she's submitted. Because surrendering means she's in fear. That she may say something wrong or do something wrong and that husband come up against her. But I'm going to tell you what, when she's submitted and your children are submitted, let me tell you what, it's a happy life. You see, I'd rather be submitted to God than surrender to God. You see, that first mile Christian, you know what he's doing? He's surrendering. But I'm going to say that second mile Christian, you know what he is? He's submitted. He's that one here on Sunday morning. He's that one here on Sunday night. It's that one that's here on Wednesday night. He's that one that's there down there when you need something cooked, they're down there cooking. When they need some drains dug up, they're here. Whatever needs to be done. It's that one that went to the pastor and said, not said, I'll do this as long as you want me to. But it's that one said, Pastor, what can I do? Or it's the one that needs the little widow lady that hadn't got anybody to cut their grass anymore and said, I think I'll just go help them out. That's the difference in a first mile and a second mile Christian. You see, the design of the first mile is not for us, but it's always for the Lord. You see, we ought to be honoring Him in everything we do. I want to be a second mile Christian tonight. I want to challenge you guys tonight to be a second mile Christian. Not only will you see the design of the first mile, you'll see the distance of the second mile, the extra mile, the distance of it. And as I said, as those Roman government had laid those sign placards down, you say, how far is a mile? I know a mile in our day is not the mile that they talked about. Most people that I read after said it was 1,000 paces. You know, and if I paced off in here, I'd probably be at 3,000 feet. Because they say each step is probably about 3 feet. But I want you to know this, the distance of it. See, the first mile, we always know that distance. If I can just make it that 1,000 paces, man, I can just drop that burden. If I can just make it over here or make it over there, I can drop that thing. Where does the second mile stop? Is it 1,000 paces more? I want to say this tonight. There's no distance on the second mile. You see, if you've ever been to the second mile, you'll never worry about what happened in the first mile. You see, we spend our lives looking at what happened in the first mile. But I'm going to tell you, when you get into the second mile, in that abundant living, where God has placed a bigger things on you and better things on you and begins to open up the doors of heaven to you, you never go back to being the first mile Christian. If you are tonight, you'll be the most miserable person in here. Always try to be a second mile Christian. The distance of the second mile. I want to say this. Not only the marker of the second mile, but I'll say the message of the second mile. I wrote this down tonight. I preached this to my teenagers about 4 months ago on this. I was giving them a charge. I had a couple of them graduating from high school. And I wanted them to know that just because that chapter had finished on that first mile, don't give up on the second mile. Keep on going for the cause of Christ. The messages of the second mile. I wrote this down, talking about devotions. You see, it's in the second mile where you'll find yourself in devotions and prayer. You see, in the first mile, you're too worried about what you got on your bag. See, we're too worried about our cross in the first mile, but in the second mile, we'll be worried about our Christ. You see, in the first mile, we'll be showing everybody our cross. Hey, look at my cross, how big it is. You want to measure my cross? But let me say, in the second mile, Christian, you know what he does? He shows everybody how big his Christ is. You see, tonight, I don't want anybody to see how big my cross is. I want everybody to see how big my Christ is tonight. And I say He's big. I'm talking about the second mile, Christian, the extra mile in your devotions. I wrote this down. A verse popping into my mind every time I start doing this, because every time I get to pray, I began to think about distractions and everything going on around me. How many of y'all, when you pray, everything that you thought you wasn't going to have to do, all of a sudden the phone rings, somebody's texting you or whatever. I'm going to say this. There's distractions all around us. Be the second mile Christian that will get away from distractions. The Bible said this in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 19. It said, in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things entering in, choke the word and becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world. He's talking about distractions. And no doubt, things come in our life and it distracts us from what we should be doing. From our devotions, our reading of the Word of God, our praying, distractions. Not only that, disconnecting. We have to, the first mile, you know what he does? He says, I'm too busy that I cannot disconnect from this world. But let me tell you what a second mile Christian does. He says, I've got to disconnect from this world. You see, when I've had to learn this in my own life. I have to learn how to disconnect. I have to be disciplined in my prayer altar. I have to be disciplined to read the Word of God. Why? Because if not, I'm going to be so distracted that I'll never get off the first mile. I need to get to the second mile. You see, that second mile Christian, he says, I've got to do this. And you got to turn this thing off. Sometimes you may have to turn it off. Your cell phone. You may have to lay it down. You cannot become too busy before God. Not only that, talking about our devotions, our being able to disconnect. I throw this one there for the teenagers, dating, but I won't get into that with y'all tonight. Some of y'all look like y'all dated some few years now. But I want to look at this, difficulties. Difficulties. Where will you turn? You see, I noticed in the first mile, Christian, you know, they always turn to the world around them. What will you do? Where will you go? What will you say? But I want to say with the second mile Christian, you know what they do? They turn to God the counsel. The psalmist said this in Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. He said, in Psalm 1 and 1, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let me say this. We have to learn then our difficulties, where our advice comes from. I thank God I got a pastor sitting here. I got an assistant pastor. I'm glad that they preach to us. I'm glad. I need preaching every time the door is open at this church. If it was open on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, guess what? I need to be here because I need preaching. You know why? Because I need advice. If I'm going to be a second mile Christian, guess what? I got to have some advice from somebody that knows more than me, because I'm going to tell you, my knowledge runs slim. But I'm glad not only I got a good pastor and a good assistant pastor and I got good friends in this place tonight, but I got the Lord Jesus and I got a Bible tonight. And I'm glad when difficulties come, you say, how can these... Yeah, I can tell you the difference in a first mile and second mile Christian as soon as a difficulty hits. You see, I noticed those second mile Christians, whenever that difficulty hits, you know, they can go through it with a smile. They know something that's going to go on, that something that's going to be better down the road than is currently in the road. They know that, look ahead. They know where their bread's butter. They know where God is coming from when they tell that. I'm glad through our difficulties, talking about the distance of the second mile. Then thirdly tonight, I won't spend no time here, the direction of the mile. I'm glad it's always pointing others to Jesus, the direction of the second mile. But lastly tonight, I want to look at this, the determination of the second mile. I wonder tonight, are you just about to give up? You're just going to be that first mile Christian. Will you be the one that just towed it 1 mile? And then when you get to that mile, you just drop it. You see, I'm glad tonight that I've got a better story than that. I'm not here just to, you know, for 1 year or 2 years. I want to make the long run. Determination of the second mile. It's called focus. Being focused. I noticed this. There's a verse in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I remember as a kid, my mom and daddy, going to Six Flags back then was a big thing. It may not be much to these kids these days, but when I was where I was from, if we said we was going to Six Flags, that was like we was going all the way across the United States and across the world. I mean, we was just, that was it. And I'll tell you what, talking about where your treasure is, I'd go to bed at night, and I'd be thinking about that stuff. I mean, I couldn't even go to sleep at night thinking I was going to get to go to Six Flags. But I tell you what, you know why? Because my heart, they told me I got to go. My heart was on that. You see, if I'm around you tonight, I can figure out where your treasure's at. I can figure out where everybody's treasure in this room is at by what you say, what you do, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll follow your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart ought to be also. The focus of it. Not only that, the faith of it. Turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 23. Talking about the faith, focus of the second mile, but secondly, the faith of the second mile. Found in Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 23. A lot of y'all ain't going to like this verse. I didn't like it either. Look what it says do. Talking about being the difference in a first mile Christian and a second mile, going the extra mile. He said here, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. And I'll stop right there talking about the faith of it. Let me tell you what, it's going to take everything in you sometimes to do things heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You're going to come up on your job and your boss is going to tell you, go ahead and do this. And in your heart, you're going to say, I don't want to do it. But the Bible don't teach us that. You know what the Bible says? He said, do it heartily. You know what that means? With your whole heart. That don't mean half heart. That don't mean I did it not because I wanted to, but because I had to. He said, you need to do it with the right attitude. He said, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Talking about the faith of, and I said, Lord, increase my faith right there. Because I can remember not long ago, I had an argument with my boss. I love people who are passionate about what they do. Passionate. I'm talking about not just serving Christ. I'm talking about if you're going to do a job, you do it right. If we're weed eating for somebody, guess what? We're going to weed eat it right. If we're going to cut grass and mow it, if there's one little, you can ask my son, if there's one little grass sticking up out there, I'm going to pull it up on the way to the truck. Because if we signed up, we want to do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Why I'm here tonight is not because of a man, but it's because of the Lord. And I want to do it right, a good job at it. And I had an argument with him, you know, and when we got done, I mean, you could say it's an argument, it really wasn't. It was just a difference of opinions. But I said, he said, what do you think about that? I said, I like it. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. And he said, why didn't he know what to say? I said, I love people that want things to do it and do it right and do it more than above and beyond, going the extra mile. You see, I want to go the extra mile in all I do, not only in my job, but I want to do it at the church house. You see, this thing right here is not just a Sunday morning thing for me. It's not just a Sunday night thing for me. It's a Monday night. It's a Tuesday night thing. It's a Wednesday night thing. It's a Thursday night thing, a Friday night, Saturday night, every night of my life. You know what I want to be? I don't want to only be a 1 mile Christian. I want to go 2. I want to go the extra mile, go above and beyond. Talking about the focus, the faith, and lastly, the finish. Look in verse number 24. Look what he said. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The finish. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 10, and I'll be closing. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. I want to show you a verse tonight. Talking about finish. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 and 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I want to say this. I want to finish right tonight. I remember my mama. The pastor said, the church he went to, it's a small country church. It could fit the whole church in this section right here, this middle section, this one row of it. And my mama went there. She served God faithfully. And the pastor wanted a card ministry. And my mama said, I'll do it. And I can remember my mama writing cards. I go down there sometimes and I'd eat with her. Guess what she'd be doing? She'd be writing the cards. She'd mail those cards off faithfully. Everybody in Roanoke that she knew, or anybody that's on their prayer request list, guess what they was going to do? They was going to get a card. She's going to buy the stamps. She's going to mail it off. I remember one time I went down there, and she had got one back, and somebody had wrote her back. She just kept sending it week after week to this person. And I remember reading that card. She said, I don't know if you know it, but they passed away probably 2 or 3 months ago. But guess what? She didn't care. Guess what she was doing? Every week, she's still writing that card. She didn't even know it. And then you know what that family said to her? They said, I appreciate your faithfulness to what God has placed you to do. You never know what you're affecting them families' lives down the road. No doubt my mama didn't even know that person had passed away. But you know what she's doing every week faithfully? She was not trying to just be a first-mile Christian and say, I got one card out or two cards out. But every week, she's going to send them out. And I'll tell you what, I want to finish not just a first-mile Christian. You know what I want to do? I want to go the extra mile. Not for somebody in this room. As much as I love my pastor tonight and I'd do anything for him, I'm not doing what I do tonight for my pastor. But I want to say I'm doing it for my Lord tonight. And I want to walk my second mile. Why? So when I finish talking about the labor of love, God is writing everything down that you're doing. Some of you say, well, I'm not in the forefront and people don't really know what I'm doing. My mama didn't have no clue how she's affecting people's lives by sending a card. She didn't have any idea that it would even affect anybody. But you know what she did? She stayed faithful to the work that God had placed her in. And just a little note, a little card every week, sending it to somebody that's sick, sending it to somebody that needs help, somebody that's down and out. And God's got people in here tonight that's working for the Lord and doing things for the Lord and nobody knows nothing about. I got news for you tonight. Bible said that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. God is writing it down tonight. I challenge you tonight not just to be a first mile Christian, just to drop your satchel there after the first mile, but go keep on walking to the second mile. Why? The second mile never ends. And I'll say this tonight, because if you've ever walked in the second mile, you'll never want to go back to being a first mile Christian. It'll never be in your heart again to do that. That's all I got tonight. My pastor coming.